Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. Regular listeners to the Sounds of Science podcast will know that the National Academy's mission focuses pretty squarely on advising the federal government on big, pressing issues that involve science, engineering, and medicine as they relate to good public policy. This mission makes for a pretty full plate. In addition to putting together reports for policymakers, we also sponsor fellowships for budding scientists, hold symposia, produce museum exhibits, and of course, make podcasts. But the focus of today's episode is on the age-old medium that has been the bedrock of communication between scientists and has facilitated the expansion of human knowledge for hundreds of years. That's right, I'm talking about the scientific journal. Along with science and nature, our institution's journal, the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, or just PNAS, is one of the most widely cited interdisciplinary scientific journals around today. Established almost a century ago, it continues to publish cutting-edge research reports, commentaries, reviews, perspectives, and other articles relevant to the work of the Academy. The journal's publisher, Ken Fulton, told me a little bit about the origins of PNAS and its evolution into what we have today.
The PNAS was actually founded in 1914. It was one of several publications that were envisioned by the Academy, and it was actually first published the year following that in 1915. It published in print for decades. It was monthly, it was bi-monthly, now it's weekly, and the online version was launched in 1997. PNAS is a first-tier journal, and we believe that the papers we have submitted to us are great scientifically, but certainly a lot of what we publish is relevant to the general public, whether it's in climate change or medical research or lots of other fields in which we publish.
In fact, since its inception, the PNAS has featured several articles that made significant contributions to the way we understand the world. For example, if you think you've established your place in the universe, think again. Your position right now isn't the same as it was just a second ago. As you listen to this podcast, our galaxy, the Milky Way, is hurtling through the universe at a speed of several hundred kilometers a second. At the same time, our neighboring galaxies, scattered throughout space, are speeding farther away from us and each other. In essence, our universe is expanding. The revelations of a single researcher, Edwin Hubble, rushed expansion straight to the forefront of astronomy, opening up the entire branch of science known as cosmology. And where did Hubble's revolutionary vision of a swelling cosmos first appear? His famous paper was published in PNAS in 1929 and proved with observational evidence that galaxies are moving away from us with a speed proportional to their distance. It's groundbreaking research like this that has built the reputation of PNAS over the years and has attracted ever more readers to the journal.
Our circulation is about 5,700. Many of that number are site licenses for institutions, so the actual number of readers is significantly higher than that. We have about 3,000 print subscriptions to that version of the journal. As an indication of how our journal is read through site licenses on the web, we get about 3 million hits a week on our website.
PNAS has a long and illustrious history of impact in the scientific community. In April of 1951, readers who turned the pages of the journal were treated to a surprise of multiple proportions. 7 studies from the same authors published back-to-back, all on the subject of protein structure. The papers extended prior research published a month earlier in PNAS and another paper published a year earlier in the Journal of the American Chemical Society. Grouping the papers together for maximum attention, authors Linus Pauling and Robert Corey must have realized the bombshell they had dropped on the scientific world. Knowledge of the inner workings of proteins, molecules often referred to as the building blocks of life, would be the key to understanding biology at the molecular level. Grasping the structure of these molecules would give scientists a head start on understanding how proteins function in the body. Pauling and Corey's research, now over a half century old, guides today's biotechnology revolution and the search for hundreds of disease cures, drugs that may someday conquer Alzheimer's disease, cystic fibrosis, mad cow disease, and many forms of cancer. Even though the topic of protein structure may sound very technical and complex, PNAS recognizes the importance of making that information accessible to others outside of the lab.
We try to emphasize to our authors that they need to write for scientists beyond their own specialty because PNAS is a broadly based journal. And we do, of course, publish separate summaries for lay readers as a guide to what's in the journal and for the media.
Considering what it means to behave rationally is often a question that sounds appropriate for philosophers. Yet mathematicians also have something to say about the subject. In the last few decades, game theory, the mathematical study of strategies and decision-making, has shed crucial light on the nature of rational behavior. In 1950, a young Princeton mathematics graduate student named John Nash published a two-page note in PNAS. His idea, the Nash equilibrium, has become the cornerstone of game theory. Over the years, the concept has illuminated questions in economics, psychology, and even biology. And in 1994, it earned Nash the Nobel Prize in Economics. This is exactly the kind of major research that is contained within the pages of PNAS. But PNAS is not populated solely by research articles.
Research papers are the most common. We do publish reviews. We publish special features, which are collections of papers. We publish perspectives that give viewpoints on research topics. We actually do publish profiles of Academy members. And there are letters to the editor, which are comments on articles that have already been published.
Once only a publishing option for members of the National Academy of Sciences, PNAS now accepts papers from outside the membership. Not only has PNAS become more open in the way in which it accepts submissions, but the internet has actually allowed the journal to become more open to readers by making articles more accessible to those who cannot afford a print subscription.
PNAS Online is free to everyone 6 months after the article is published. We have been in the vanguard of the open access movement. We also make all of our content free upon publication to 140-something countries in the developing world. A number of our individual articles are also freely available upon publication. There is an open access option whereby an author can pay a nominal fee to have his or her article freely available upon publication. And some of our categories of papers, for instance, colloquium papers, are available free immediately.
And while I've talked a lot about PNAS's illustrious history, Fulton is firmly focused on the future.
We're trying to stay current by making our journal more accessible. We want to spread the word and respond to the ways in which especially young scientists are now using the literature. We are experimenting with social networking. We have social bookmarking online. PNAS has a Facebook page. Our letters to the editor are all online. Again, back to technology, we use RSS feeds. We have supplemental information online that's not available in a print journal, and that can include three-dimensional virtual structures. There's lots of things that are on the horizon in terms of how we present information in the journal as well.
It is a formula of quality work, a reputation built on decades of important research, and accessibility to those studies that continue to make PNAS an influential journal.
We really are trying to publish the most influential science and to make PNAS continue to be a must-read journal for scientists in all kinds of fields. We're also gratified by the number of media outlets that choose to highlight PNAS papers. Science and technology are extraordinarily important to everyone, to the U.S. economy and to the education of our workforce, and to the extent that people can appreciate the value of science and technology, it's all to the good for PNAS and for science and for the country.
Which, of course, maps back to all the work at the National Academies. For more information on the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, you may visit the journal online at pnas.org. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.